how to go from being in the red to profiting 19% in 9 months. Hi, I am Kayla Swanson, and I am your host of High Performance Salon Academy's Profitable Saloner Podcast. And today I get the pleasure of hanging out with Angie Lorenz. What's up, Angie? How are you?
Hi, Kayla. Thanks so much for having me on today.
Stoked to have you on today. You have an incredible story in the last 9 months going from negative to profit. And Angie has been in the salon industry for 22 years. She's owned her salon, or she's owned her business for 12 years. And she's had a lot of things happen over the last 9 months. And I asked her to jump on here with me to talk about the big movements that she made to be able to turn from not making a profit to making a 19% profit in only 9 months. So Angie, super stoked to have you on today. Super stoked to hear about your story. Thank you for sharing it with everybody listening today. I'd love to know a little bit more about you to share. Tell me about like where you're located, how you got into the industry. Tell me more of your little background.
Sure. I'm located in Chesterfield, Missouri. Nice. And I got into this industry because I've always loved doing hair and makeup since I was a little girl. And my own salon, I always just wanted to have a place that people could feel at home and that we would be in this for something bigger than just doing hair. I've always felt like, you know, serving others and just making people feel good about themselves was a really special part about our industry. And I just wanted a happy place that people could feel at home.
Yes, I love that. And I know if you're listening to this, if you relate to any, I feel like that's such a, like the heart and passion of people in the beauty industry is just, it's aligns with that in their own flavor of serving people, having a safe space, wanting to just be, you know, contribute to people in their world. And I love that a lot. So you started your business 12 years ago and tell me about the journey that you've been on for the last 12 years of like, how has it been overall?
Yeah, for sure. So of course it was super exciting when I first started to, you know, start down this path of having my dream of my salon. And, it started out great. I, went into it fearless. I'm like, we're just going to make this happen. Yeah. It was myself and I had two employees and, you know, we had no front desk person, you know, hardly any payroll overhead, any of that stuff, but we were profitable. We were doing good. We were, making progress. And it's funny because then as you begin to grow over time, of course we wanted to have all 10 chairs of our stations full and, be a $1 million salon and, you know, all these benchmarks that you want to hit. So we start investing in growing our team and growing our top line sales. And, I think what started happening over time is just, we didn't know how to take more control of every dollar that was coming into our business. Mm-hmm. We kept thinking that the more money that we would bring in top line sales, eventually we would make more money, not knowing how to be profitable where we were at that given point in time.
Yeah. Cause when you grow your team, you grow that, then you're growing your expenses too. Then you need more. And then it's a lot more to juggle. It's not just hiring more people. It's also having a lot more other moving parts that are coming into your salon.
Yeah. Yeah. Wow. It was, it's been a wild ride for sure.
So then what started to happen? So you started to grow and you hired more people and brought people in and things started to kind of shift. And so where you were 9 months ago, let's talk about that. So you kind of, how were you feeling back then? Like what was starting to happen that you were seeing?
You know, I think that I was just investing so much time. I was 80, 90 hours a week, trying to grow the business and I was not seeing the return on the investment. I was just so frustrated and I was in this zone of watching other people on Instagram and comparing myself to other salons and seeing the fun things that it looked like they were doing or the extravagant dinners or trips that they were going on. And I was just like jealous and like, why am I not as successful as them? And you know, what I know now is people's reflection of what they're doing on Instagram isn't always a direct correlation to their P&L. And maybe they are super successful, but I didn't need to be comparing. Why do I keep saying that? I don't need to be comparing myself to them. I needed to just take a hold of my own business and understand it and understand what were going to be the things that were going to help me be profitable.
Well, I mean, in your defense, I mean, how many of you guys listening to this are in the same boat where you're scrolling Instagram and whether it's other salon owners or just other people who just feel more successful and you start to just really compare and it really is hard with the access to the internet and so much out there. you do. You see people who are having lives, or at least portraying their life to be something that you thought that you would have, whether you've been in your business for 5 years, 10 years, maybe you're looking to get started, or you're in a place where it's like, man, everybody else has so much more than I have, and I'm working my tushy off to accomplish all of these things. Like, man, yeah, how heartbreaking is that to see it constantly and just feel like, man, I'm failing at this. Maybe this isn't meant for me, or maybe this is not something I want to do, or maybe this is not, I'm not cut out for this. And you start to doubt your ability, and you start to doubt your dreams and your passions of why you started it in the first place. We've talked about that a lot on the podcast, on like sometimes when you get like you're almost tailspin your perspective and you start to lose sight of what's important, or you lose sight of what, you know, and sometimes you don't know what you don't know. So even like the same systems that you were using before, they start to fluctuate, or the world starts to change, or, you know, how business is done starts to shift. And if you don't know those things, or aren't even in a place where you have the space to be able to like fluctuate inside of your business, like sometimes people get stuck doing it the same way because like, well, this is what works, and I don't really have the mental space to think of something different. And so then you kind of get stuck there, and then you kind of get left behind, and things get a little chaotic as you're trying to grow and juggle all the things. Because let's be real, owning a business, there's a lot to juggle there, and there's a lot to accomplish, especially when there's a window, and or I don't want to say a window because it's not their real life, but what's portrayed on the internet. So I totally get that. And if you're listening to this and you relate, just shout it out to your radio or however you're listening to this, and just say, yeah, in your car or wherever you're at listening, because I relate with that too. You know, my own life, I'd be like, yeah, I want to be this place. And I see that out there, and it really does change your attitude and your perspective. Wow. So Angie, tell me about like when you were telling me before how like you were like ready to close your doors. Like you were like, okay, this is not working. This is not for me anymore. So tell me about that time and where you were at.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, I definitely want to start to be clear that my husband and I were always really conservative with money and the business. I never paid myself what I was worth. So we kind of just stacked some cash in case if we were going to need it. And, so we were never in a position that we didn't have money to pay rent or we couldn't make payroll, which I'm super grateful for. But with the amount of hours that I was putting in, we were just starting to really see like this isn't working. And I couldn't figure out like, why are we growing in top line sales, but I'm not making any money? Like, it's just my stylists were super successful and they're doing great, but they're making way more money than I am. And I'm like, this just it's not working for me. And like, it's sad because my heart and soul, my passion was being poured into this place. But like, you can only do that for so long before you're like, okay, I'd be better off to go work in another commission-based salon. I'd make more money than I was and not have my house on the line and our 401k and all
and drop the stress.
Yes. So it was just, you know, I was just in a not great place. And it's funny because, well, it's not funny. Like my mom passed away a few years ago, I was full-time behind the chair at that time. And I had been wanting to step away and start working on the business. You know, I kept hearing that, you know, that's what you should do. And that's like the way you need to move forward, to progress. And I don't know, it's hard to do it as a stylist. I know other salon owners and stylists can, you know, are with me on that. But while my mom passing away was the worst thing that ever happened to me, it was the greatest gift of time that I could have gotten, because it forced me to be like, okay, I'm going to focus on the business. I couldn't do hair. I just didn't have the mindset to be with clients. So I needed something different. And me focusing on the business was the start and the shift of being aware of our numbers and what needed to change. And, it was just a really eye-opening experience. And I think when things started spiraling and I was comparing myself to people on Instagram and just starting to have this like chip on my shoulder, I was losing my love for everything that meant something to me in the industry. And I knew that if something didn't change quick, I was going to be out.
You're like, this can't continue to do this, because losing your passion and your love for it. Like, why are you doing, especially if you're, you know, losing, you don't want to work to live. No, wait, you don't want to live to work. You want to work to live, don't live to work. Dang it. It's one of my favorite quotes. I never say it correctly. But you don't want, you know, but when you open your own business, like you are asking to, you know, you have more involvement, more, you know, there's more expectation of you.
We're Forest, born on the salon floor and built for and by hair and beauty professionals like you. Forest is your marketing, your reporting, Your reputation management. You need one easy-to-use system that does it all. Forest, together we grow.
Sustain Beauty Co. has two of the best tools to help you save water, time, and a bunch of money. Join the clean water salon movement with EcoHead's water-saving shampoo nozzles and scrummy plant-based microfiber towels. Available at sustainbeauty.co.
Are you tired of not knowing what your hair color is costing you? With Salon Scale, we take the guesswork out for you, so you can cover your back bar expenses, reduce your color waste, and generate more profit in your salon. Click the link in the description to get 10% off your first year.
Are you ready to increase your retention and revenue and convert website traffic to clients? Then you're ready for Maya. Maya creates better business relationships by pairing the right clients with the right beauty professionals. Use promo code HPSA for your first 2 months free. Visit joinmaya.com to get started.
You know, mm-hmm. It's like it's your dreams and your hopes that you're building on. And yeah. It's a lot more manual work until you start to grow and things like that. So yeah, if you're out of exchange or you're like, I'm pouring more into this business than I am my own personal life or my health or my family or getting to upgrade my car or my house and do all those things. It's like my business is getting all of me and my life isn't, my spouse isn't, my kids aren't. Yeah. And so like we have found that so much of clients who come into the academy who that's exactly where they're at. They're like, hey, we don't know where, our business is where it's at. We've been in business for 5 to 20 years and we plateaued or we're not moving or we're not growing, because sometimes it just, you don't know what you don't know, and coming and getting a different perspective or having people kind of come into your life who tell you something different, or like, hey, well, this is how I did it. That's what I love so much about our academy is the community within it, is there's so many different salon owners who have different walks of life, who have been in the industry for different amounts of years, who make different amounts, $1 million, $7 million, under $1 million. And there's different people, different levels, but they've all have been sampling. This is what's working. This is what's not working. And so that's what I love about, get yourself into a community where you can get that kind of support or get a different perspective. So Angie, let's start diving into that. So what happened? So 9 months ago around March, you were saying March, April area. So you started to make shifts in your business. Talk to me about the shifts that you started to make at that time.
Yeah. Went to a Lanza big event and took some business classes and stumbled upon HPSA. And when I was sitting in the class, I just felt really inspired and motivated and just kind of felt like it was the right thing to do. I felt like I was at that moment that I knew this had to be it or I was finished. So I was like, this is it. I'm going to put all my eggs in one basket and do this thing. I came home and told my husband about it. He thought I was crazy, but he's like, okay, if you want to do it, let's go. So I joined the community, started hopping on daily calls, and we're just surrounded by so many brilliant people that I feel like that's one of the biggest things for me was like, sometimes like if someone's trying to sell you something, it's hard to trust who is selling you something, right?
Oh, totally. Of course, everybody wants your money.
And they just want your money, right?
But yes.
You have this community of people that don't really benefit whether you're successful or not, but are telling you, this worked in my business. Like, you start to really be like, okay, I believe in this. And I kind of just took on this mindset that like, I need to be fearless. I owe it to myself. I owe it to my business to see if I can push it to be where I've always wanted it to go. So I carefully listened and started to implement things like, just very basic things like just starting off with a code of honor and a leadership team to kind of help me to start to bounce new ideas off of, which were, it's so funny because like when I heard it at the time and just sounding how simple, it sounded so simple, but like now seeing the framework that set for my company and having this core group of people that are like my backbone and have, it's so good. And I don't know how I'd have implemented all the new things that I did without them. So, I started there, and then we got introduced to Profit First and, started becoming a Profit First salon. And that's just been a game changer. We implemented profitable back bar, and parts and labor is just that alone. I feel like to be able to recoup the money that you spend on a service is a game changer for our industry. I don't know why our industry has that reputation that we had the cost of doing color roped into our stylist's commission, but man, oh man, no wonder why we have such a hard time being profitable. Like there's not many other industries that do that. So how in the world did the salon industry start doing it? I don't know. But whoever created parts and labor for the salon industry, like brilliant, game changer. That has really made a huge difference in our profitability over the last year. And then, you know, we've brought in things like Maya and Salon Ninja and just doing paid Facebook ads, but the right ones, like not getting roped into contracts that we can't get out of for paid advertising. We made a lot of those mistakes last year, which cost us to be negative. But yeah, we're just making smart decisions, and I'm so excited about all the new things.
Yeah, man, I love that. I love it. Just you, I'm love and so passionate about this industry and just the people within it, because they're the best people. And I think that it's so exciting to me to hear how you go from one place to another one and just implementing things. Like, I love what you said about code of honor. We also have a code of honor in our office because it's the foundation of what we do too. And it really is a foundational piece. I'm going to go over a couple of these things. If you're listening, you're like, I don't even know what those things are, because a lot of them, parts and labor is an academy specific thing. But I want to go over a couple of them and talk to you a little bit about how they impacted your business specifically. So since people are listening, you know what that kind of looks like. If you've been around for any period of time, code of honor is a, it's so funny. I go to explain it and then it all flees my mind. It's basically a list of, actually, you know what, Angie, why don't you just implemented it? Why don't you share a little bit, like, what is a code of honor and how has it impacted your salon?
Sure. We had a team meeting where we all decided on the things that, like, the kind of the rules that we wanted to live by, to put in place. It's funny because I think what was so great about it was that it shouldn't come from me. Like, the salon owner can't create these rules. Like, your team has to come up with them. What are they willing to hold themselves all accountable for as a team? You know, what's the best version of themselves that they want to put forward? And leading a good meeting to have them come up with these things was really important, because I could see how just putting some stuff out there that I wanted to change, you know, maybe some of it would have worked, but at the end of the day, it's so easy when stuff starts to kind of go in the wrong direction to be like, hey, wait, we decided as a team that this isn't what we want. And so it's so much easier to get things back on track when you just give the little reminder that we all signed this code of honor. This is what we eat, sleep, live, breathe by here. And it's so nice when I bring someone new onto our team to show them what our code of honor is. And it's really impressive to them. Like, I get complimented all the time that people say, wow, I've never been somewhere that has a code of honor or takes it that seriously. So
yeah, I agree. Like, we have a code of honor also in our office. And when people come in, they're like, we've never had a company where they've had these kinds of standards, and it's values and standards that we all agreed upon. And nobody gets hired unless they also agree. And we even say, like, which one of these code of honors do you feel like is going to be your strength and that you will need to continue to work on? Because it's not a matter of you can't come into our company unless you do all these really, really well. The point is, this is the standards we want to live by, and making sure everybody agrees to live by those standards, that even if you're having a bad day, or even if something starts to falter, we call people to the code of honor, like, not call somebody out, but hey, remember, like you just said, like, remember, we agreed to live by all these together. And then you give people opportunity that to, when they get hired on, like, hey, a part of working here, like, this is our standards that we all live by. And people they're really impressed by it, because people honestly want, like, even going thinking about children, like, I have a 5-year-old son, and like, having the structure, knowing his expectations, knowing how to be, is a really important part of development. Kids want that. And I don't think we ever outgrow wanting that structure of knowing what is the expectation of me. And so when you walk into a job, if you know what's expected of you, imagine you're listening to this, as you're hiring people on, they know what's expected of them, and already out the gate, you know what you expect of them, and they know what you expect of them. Together, you mutually are aligned on what those are. And that is the beauty of the code of honor. If you want more information on that, if you're like, hey, I need that in my salon, whether you have a great team, a thriving team, I can guarantee a code of honor will just establish things you didn't even realize. Like Angie, you were saying, it almost feels like common sense, but you don't think of those things and how it's laid out. Highly recommend a code of honor. So glad that it has contributed so much to your salon.
Yeah, absolutely.
The other thing was profit first. Love profit first. It's basically, and we also have a whole podcast about this with me and Jason talked about it. I'll link it in the description, so if you want to go check that one out too. We talk about profit first. It basically means, like, how to actually make a profit. And there's three different streams of way to pay yourself. There is the profit that you take for being the business owner. There's paying yourself as just being the manager of your salon or owning your salon, the work that you do within your salon, paying yourself for that, and then paying for yourself behind the chair. And just making sure that if you are going to own a business, and like Jason always says, if you aren't paying yourself or making money from your business, you have a hobby, not a business. And if that hits and resonates with you, like there is, you should be making money on your business. If you're not, then what's the point? And then you get where Angie was 9 months ago, where you're just like, what am I even doing anymore? The exchange is not there. And then you lose your love and your passion for it because you're pouring more into your business. That's not pouring anything back into you than your family and your health. And that's not where you need to be. You want to be in a place where you're building a business that gives back to you, because that is a business. Otherwise you have a hobby that you may not even like anymore anyway. And so profit first, highly recommend that as well. And then the other thing is parts and labor. That is charging for the parts and labor, like a automobile. I love what you said, Angie, how like, why does the beauty industry not do this? And so we built a whole structure to parts and labor pricing. We call it profitable back bar, and basically making your back bar a profit center to where it's adding profit. We have people adding thousands of dollars a month into their salon because they implemented parts and labor pricing. And yeah. I think like, I love talking about all these things, and it's not just a plug for, you know, I don't want this to come across like we're just saying like, hey, join the academy so you can get these things. It's a matter of, there is other things out there. There are solutions to the issues that you're having. There is a place where you're at in your salon, whether you're ready to close your doors, whether you are making a small profit, want to make more, no matter where you're at, as you're listening to this in your business, there's other perspectives and other tools and ways that can make your salon work with you rather than work against you or feel like you're, you know, out of exchange. You want to be in that place, in that sweet spot where like there is just options. And maybe these ones, you're like, well, no, those aren't for me. But there's just having a community of people that can help grow you and your perspective and what you think is possible, and then taking the steps to be able to implement. So Angie, tell me a little bit about like these specific things. I know there's so many other things, but like, what has been some of the big main, like these are the action items that you kind of, but what has been like the shifts that you have made in your business that have really contributed to that 19% profit?
Well, definitely the parts and labor with Vish. We started passing along credit card processing fees to our guests. We brought in Maya for lead generation.
Yeah.
And we started working with Salon Ninja and doing like website pop-up offers for new guests.
Love that.
Yes. I mean, just growing the client base and making sure that we are profitable on every service. I'll never forget last year, my husband and I sitting in my kitchen, we brought home so many products and we're measuring things out by the ounces and like, you know, what if we used 2 ounces in this service? Would it be profitable? And what if we used one of that? And like all these different things and like in excruciating detail for many, many weekends, we're like, we're going to figure this out and make sure that we are profitable on every service. And that hands down is probably one of the biggest. And then, like I said, removing that from the commission and having that be pure profit for the salon, and not being embarrassed about it. Like my team, it was like, we need the salons to win, right? Like there's not going to be anywhere for them to work if we don't win as well. And I think presenting it to them to understand that like, we have to recoup the money that we are spending on these services. And it just drastically changes from one client to the next, right? It might be only $4 for Sally over here that got her hair done. And it might be $40 worth of color for Susie that came over here. So we got to make sure that we collect that $40 that we used on Susie. You know, so I think just having that system in place and really making sure that we're aware of keeping the majority of every dollar that comes in our salon that we can, spending our money wisely, being on a budget. I was never on a budget before. I will say that. I thought that I was being careful in budgeting until I joined HPSA. I was definitely not doing that correctly. Yeah. So all these little changes, budgeting weekly, and then like even getting down to now being aware of things daily. Accountability and awareness are huge for me right now for profitability. I think just knowing that there are so many more levers that I can pull. And I, right now I just need time on my side. I feel like I went from a couple of years ago thinking, what am I going to do when I stop doing hair? Like, I don't even know what to do as a business owner and not do hair. To where I am now, where I'm like, oh my gosh, can I just have 10 more hours in the day to get everything done that I need to do? Like, I have so many, I keep learning about all these things to do. And just, it's like, how do you prioritize which one's first? And I'm just so happy that I'm headed in the right direction. And we made such massive growth that I know now that I can, like, a little bit more bite-sized things to keep us progressing in the right direction. And I just want to stay focused on, I want us to be profitable. I want us to be wildly successful. I want to keep my stylist successful as well. I want to keep my guests having that 5-star experience and, like, just have been the balance of all of it. And now I feel like it's possible to have all three of those, like that triple win that we hear about. It doesn't have to just be one or the other.
Wow, man. It's so inspiring listening to you. And I'm just love, I can imagine, like, talking to you 9 months ago and then just getting to talk to you today. Not, like, yeah.
As a lot of tears and on my wits end for sure.
Yeah, dang. So I want to talk a little bit more. I mean, we've talked about the business and the impact and how much you've grown and all those things. I want to talk about, like, on a personal level, on just changing the relationship, like getting to be where you're at, and, like, honestly going back to, like, nine months ago, Angie, like, what on a personal level, where are you at with your business and your relationship and connection to it?
So good. I mean, I absolutely love it. I'm so excited to work on it, work in it every day, whatever, all the things. I've got so many of my staff that are so excited and motivated now. It just, it feels so good. Like, I'm so, I don't know. I told them at our, we had our kickoff meeting last week, and I made them workbooks to journal and track. And I haven't done that in a long time. We kind of lost sight of tracking, which is another thing that's helping us stay on the straight and narrow as well. But yeah, I don't know. Just I'm a different person. I'm a different business owner. I'm a different wife. I'm a different mom. Like, it's crazy how one thing starts to go well in your life and then it spirals, you know, turning into great things in other areas of your life as well. As what happens on the flip side too, some bad things start happening and that starts to spiral. I had to be like, enough already. Like, I needed good in my life. I went through my grieving phase after losing my mom. And like I said, giving me that gift of time to put towards this. Yeah. Like, I don't know that I'd be here if that hadn't happened. So in some crazy way, I'm grateful, to have had the gift of time. And, yeah, I'm definitely in a great relationship with my business now. I love it again. I'm so excited. I can't wait. Can't wait to see what happens in the future.
Dang, that's incredible. I'm so stoked for you. I'd love to, as we kind of wrap this up, to talk to the people who are listening, because I know sometimes people can get in their heads and be like, well, yeah, that's good for you, but I'm still here. And so, like, even like what you would say to yourself 9 months ago, if you were to, you would go back and give Angie 9 months ago a hug and be like, it's going to be okay. This is where we're going to be. Like, what would you say in terms of, like, monumental things of people who may be in the same boat, whether it's as the exact boat you were in or their shade of something similar? If you were in a place right now where you feel struggling, or you're not in love with your business as much as you were, or like, and I'm not, it's not just Angie. I mean, the last year, 2024 was, I know that was your growing year, but I know that for the last couple of years, it's been really, really hard in the industry. There's a lot of people who are struggling. Like, some of our even top performing salons, they are struggling because so much is shifting, so much is changing. And so what would you say to those people who are listening to be where you were at? What would you tell them?
Oh man, that's tough. I think I would first say, take a deep breath. And I think that the greatest advice that I've gotten, and I continually get it over and over, even still now that I'm making positive changes, is to don't do what works for other salon owners. You absolutely have to understand your business, what works well, what makes you profitable. Like, you cannot just say, I'm going to make my haircut prices $50 because someone down the street is charging $50. We have to understand what are the components that make that up to know if we're profitable. And we can absolutely be profitable. We don't need to live by this reputation that we've been giving that salons just aren't successful and we just do this because it's fun. You know, because It's not always fun, but I love the industry. It's a great industry, but obviously we want to make money, and we can. I think that we can, and I know that we can. We just have to pay attention and be smart about where the money goes and what makes us profitable. And there's help out there. There's books that you can read. There's other salon owners that you can talk to now. There's the academies that you can join. There's so much help. I think I was just, I was just getting it from the wrong places.
Yeah. That's hard too. Sometimes, again, going back to what you were kind of saying earlier, is like the intentionality of people, like just there are so many YouTube videos, there are so many coaches, there is so much out there and options of places to go of like where, yeah, let me tell you how to run your business, make a profit, give me money, I'll make you profitable. And so as you're out there looking for people who can support, and I recommend support, whether it's us or somebody else, just have people in your corner who are going to support you in the midst of that. Obviously, I'm biased with ours because I love our community too. It's not just about the people. It's about like, that's the number one thing. Every time people are their favorite thing is the community within it, because it's other salon owners who are in the same boats or have been there. But I would definitely recommend just find your community of people. And it's even better to find a community of people within the industry, because sometimes like, yeah, your best friend down the street has never owned a salon. Like that's, sometimes it's just not the same where you can tell, you know, communicate and share, but having a salon business is different. There's a lot of different components that you're working at. And honestly, the beauty industry, where there are things that can replicate other industries, but it's a very specific industry, and running a business within, like having a salon, is not a similar business to everybody else's business. It's a very specific way to, because you have different components, the commission, all that stuff. And so having a community that understands all of those things and have been there and have trialed and erred, we have people in the academy who, some of them are doing it one way, some of them are doing it completely opposite way, because I love what you just said, Angie, about there really is no one size fits all. And if you honestly are finding people out there who are like, hey, this one change for you this way, this is how you do it, implement it. Steer clear of those kinds of people, because it's not like you said, Angie, going back to what is working for your salon, where are you at? Because everything is different. No salon is the same, from the people who work there to the people who walk in the doors, to the culture that you're building, to why you started your business in the first place, the people you attract. There's so many different components that funnel into why you should make the decisions that you should for your business. So knowing that there is a lot of options and there's a lot of things that you can do, even starting there and knowing things are possible and that you can. I mean, Andy, you communicated to me, you were in negative before. Yeah. And like, that's on one, I appreciate you being willing to admit that, because not a lot of people can. They like, people get really private about like, well, I don't want to say that I'm failing at this. But even knowing there, I know it's easier to say that when you've overcome it and now in the green, but getting to go from one place and be in the mindset that you were to transforming over just 9 months period of time. It's cool. It's cool to see that. And if you're listening to this and if you're anywhere on that spectrum, knowing that it can be something, you can fall back in love with your business, have it be something that you're passionate about again. I hope that if you took nothing away, that's what you took away. Take one day at a time, take one step forward, find people, like turn off your Instagram, stop looking at the people who have their life all put together, because I can almost guarantee it's not exactly what it seems. But find people who are real, find people who are honest, find people who are willing to tell you, like love punch you in the best ways and have your best interest at heart, who can support you in building a legacy for your business and something that, like you, like Angie just said, I love going to work every single day. How often can people say that? Not very often. Which I love that. Man, this has been so fun. I could continue talking about this for a long time. I appreciate your energy, and I appreciate, Angie, you showing up and sharing your story with everybody in our audience today. And if you want any support in any of these things, want to know more about the Code of Honor, Profit First, Parts and Labor, Profitable Back Bar, any of those things, or building anything in your company, if you're struggling in any capacity, it is our heart and desire to support in anybody and everybody in elevating the way the world views the beauty industry. You're welcome to reach out to us anytime. We'll put the number in the description. You can text me anytime, and we can give you more information on all those things. And above all, just find a support system, find people who have your best interests at heart and are willing to come alongside you and help you build your business. Angie, anything else you want to share?
I don't think so. Thank you so much.
Yeah, this has been really fun.
It's been fun to reminisce. And again, like just recognize the growth. It's been cool.
Yeah. And be proud of yourself. Cause like in all of this, like, yes, like you joined the academy, but you did the work. There's one thing to find somebody who can tell you things that you did, but you did all this work. The last 9 months is you and your team and the things that you implemented and who you became over the last 9 months is why this is so successful, because you can hand all these tools to somebody and hand them, be like, hey, here's your goodie bag of all the things that's possible for you. But if you got up every single day and you made the decisions to change yourself and your business and your team, and it's really powerful. So I'm really, really proud proud of you. And so thank you for doing the work. Thank you for showing up today and sharing the work. And maybe in 9 months from now, we'll come back again and be like, and now look where we're at.
I'm excited. I hope that's the case.
Yeah, absolutely. All right. Well, thank you for listening to today's episode of the Profitable Salon Owner Podcast, and we'll see you next time.
You've been listening to the Profitable Salon Owner Podcast. Be sure to like, subscribe, leave us a review, and check us out at ProfitableSalon.com for more episodes, content, and to help you turn your salon into the business you've always dreamt of.